I don't
know, as
know.
we got, yeah, we do. We got lots of good stones to work with today, Mike, so I'm excited.
Okay, good. Go for it.
Stones? You better be talking. You got that seer girl going on there, and I don't know what you're seeing. What you seeing, sister?
I just know you've got a lot to share, so I'm going to glean from you guys.
Well,
Okay.
yeah, go for it.
Well, gosh, Cindy. Well, I had a dream about, I don't know if you read my dream on there. Probably not, Mike. You're busy, so. I had a dream about these lions coming down from the sky. So I thought it was a really cool dream. Should I tell it to you?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I'm in the car with, I won't say it on the line who I'm with, but I'm with my friend, and we're in the car, and well, actually, we were in the parking lot, and I had some other friends there too, and they went off walking down the street, and then I was with my friend in the parking lot, and she was going to go take a nap in the car, and I was trying to decide if I was going to go take a nap or going to go walk, and I decided I was going to go take a walk to get some exercise, and I asked her to come pick me up along the way. And then the next phase of the dream, we're in her car, we're driving, and I look out the window and I see a lion leap out of the sky. And I'm thinking, wow, that's a big leap. And then I see another lion and another lion. And then I realize, okay, these lions are flying, they're not leaping. And all of a sudden, there was just like droves of lions coming from the sky. And they were beautiful. And then the next thing I know it, a plane crashes in front of us, and it's a commercial jet because I see the captain get out of the plane, and he's wearing, you know, what a commercial jet guy would be wearing, you know, the hat and the suit and everything. And and then I go to help people that come out of the crash, and some people are hurt, some aren't, and I'm kind of praying for them. I'm laying hands on them and praying for them. And then a lady steps forward and she has some money she wants to give me. And she hands me this money. I'm like, I don't need this money. And then she kind of backs away into the background and I see another lady and I hand her the money. And she's like, oh, I really, really needed this money. And so then I go, wow. I turn around and everything's being cleared away like nothing happened. The government had come in with all their big vehicles and had moved everything away and cleaned up, so you didn't even know there was a plane crash. And I realized that they've taken people around the back of this building, and I go back there, and my friend is back there too, and I find all these people up on these up on like a shelf, or not a shelf, but a counter, and they're in cages. And they're like human-sized cages, and I see people like have set up their stuff in there like you would if you had an apartment or something. They were like, they had their stuff in the cage. And I look at my friend, and she wasn't in a cage, but she was just in there. And I am thinking, I think I had a thought like, we better get out of here. Like, this is not a good place. And so that was like the end of my dream.
All right, interesting. Yeah, I mean, do you want sort of an interpretation? Have you got an interpretation?
I did. I felt like I did, but then I had some people kind of give some different things, and I was like,
Well, this is how I would see that dream out working. In the fact that you're in the car with a friend is to do with ministry, that you have ministry that is moving, and the lions that came out of the sky is to do with kingdom authority and government, so the rulership, so that your ministry is going to take on another level, a multiplied level of government, because of the nature of there are multiplied lions turning up, you know. Then basically you come across a plane crash, which is a crashing of a major ministry. There is a major ministry which is gonna crash, and the result of that crash is that you're going to get to minister to some of the people who are affected by it, and that there will be a redistribution of the resources that were in that other ministry. But there are others who will not want to deal with the reasons behind the ministry crashing, and will try and cover it up and hide it, and that those that don't deal with it will be locked up in the old order of that ministry, because it's an old functioning ministry out of the old, you know, apostolic prophetic order, not an order of Melchizedek ministry, and it, there is going to be a major crash that you are going to be connected to minister to those people. But there will be some people who choose to stay locked up. They are not there, even though everything has crashed around them in this ministry. They still won't cross over into something new. And you know, there's only so much you can do. Those that do not want to be free will stay on the other side of the river, if you like, because you're going to offer them a new way, a new order of ministry and government. So that would be my take on it.
That was good. Yeah, the part about me moving into the government, you know, other what did you say about the governments?
Well, it's like an increase, a multiplication of the governmental authority that you're going to carry within the ministry that you presently have, mm-hmm. Which is going to bring you into connection with a large international ministry which is going to be crashed. I mean, that's the difference between a car and a plane. So the symbols of these things, you know, a car, usually vehicles are representation of ministry because they move us forward. And there's a difference between a car, which has got you and a friend in it, which is sort of an indication of the size and the type of ministry that you're operating in, to what you're going to connect with, which is a plane, which has got the international, because it can fly, but it's going to crash.
That speaks to me really. Like, that was the piece that I was missing right there, and I know what it is now, so that's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it's actually kind of already happening, and that's why I'm glad I didn't say anything on here, because...
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, there are stuff... There's a lot of shaking going on.
Yeah.
There's shaking. There are things which are being shaken loose. Things are coming into the light. Because God wants to clean house, you know. He's wanting to challenge the old orders of things that are no longer functioning under the government of God, but have established their own mountains, and they are in the wilderness, and God is challenging those ministries to cross over into the promise. And if you're on a mountain, that is the upside down version of what God wants. It's like in heaven there is a mountain, God is on the mountain, and government comes down and is released over the earth, wider and wider. On earth, a reflection of that government isn't that, it's that. Mm. So it's that. And therefore, we have to have ministry which releases ministry, not ministry which restricts ministry by being above it. And God is going to expose those ministries who are refusing to equip and release people into their destiny, but are holding people to this sort of mediatorial. You know, if you need someone to do it, then pay me. You know, if you need someone to do this for you, then I'll give you the prophetic word. I won't teach you how to get your own prophetic word. I'll do it for you. If you need a blueprint, come to me. We'll provide apostolic covering, rather than, hey, I'm going to help you to get into heaven to find your own apostolic blueprint and encourage you to outwork it. Whole different ball game of how the old and the new function. And there's a lot going on of shaking, and I'm pleased that actually I've seen some ministries respond and start to change, and I think there's a whole lot of others that there may well need to be some serious crashes for those that are caged, because what happens is the cages break open when the crash takes, and it gives people an opportunity to walk out. They may be difficult, they may be injured, they may be damaged emotionally, they may have trust issues because of the nature of what's happened that's been exposed, but they have an opportunity of walking out, but some choose to remain. We have to give people the choice and the opportunities. It's difficult because I honor those who have gone before. Like Moses did amazing miracles. You know, I honor those Moses miracle working ministries that have done amazing things, have taken us up to the river. But they can't get us across, because you can't take a wilderness ministry into the promised land of our inheritance. You have to operate with a different ministry. Joshua did it differently to Moses. So everyone was now involved, not just one person doing the ministry. And that's really what is coming to an end. You know, one person ministry on the sort of top of a mountain, held up as the person who does it on behalf of everybody else, that God just is not going to stay in that. It doesn't look like him. You know, even God, with all the authority he has, releases ministry for others of the angelic and the earthly order to fulfill. He doesn't do it all himself. You know, he releases people into destiny, you know, and God wants to release people into destiny in this new order of things. You know, when they engaged Jericho, they all walked around it. A totally different order. You know, Moses would have told the walls to come down and they would have crumbled or fallen into the ground. Joshua was commanded to get the whole nation walking in their position of authority, and then the walls come down when they produced a sound, which was a different sound. You know, it was a sound of unity. It was a sound of them corporately coming together. It wasn't one person hitting the rock or speaking to the rock or commanding things, you know, and that's the difference. You know, and, you know, there is a transition taking place, and you just want as many of those ministries that have got us where we are to embrace where we're going and not stay in the wilderness and die there. Because, you know, when they crossed over, those 2.5 tribes who stayed on the other side, ultimately, the manna stopped. They were now responsible for their own things, but they were on their own, you know, because they didn't choose to engage and step into the new dimension. Even some of them went and fought on behalf of those in there and then went back, you know. And there's a whole load of parallels between what happened in the wilderness in what is happening right now with God beginning to challenge people to go across.
So, Mike, I'm kind of in this midst of seeing a lot of this change, and then I guess I would call it not frustration, but it feels like that because you can feel the tension. And I'm starting to see little fruits of pulling people in, but still not really understanding the whole thing about stepping into heaven. And other than just prayer and, you know, stepping into heaven and bringing the atmosphere, that's where my prayer is like, Lord, where is my place in this? Because I can see so much, but I don't really know what to do. Because, you know, there's so much. And it's like, what do you do? I mean, even like the lie busting, trying to bring that in because we've got the whole recovery church. We've got a whole new campus. I mean, there's just a lot of things. And I know I'm supposed to be here, but it's huge. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, I can't do this alone, but what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
So I know you're seeing a lot of this, and I'm asking, like, what else could I do? Because I do feel like the Lone Ranger there, but I'm very accepted and loved, and, you know, I still, it's a strange place to be. I'm hidden, but I'm not.
Yeah, well, you're not hidden from God, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Yeah. it is heavenly recognition in these things. You know, I tell you what, it's hard enough when you're operating in governmental authority to bring transition and change. It's like, yeah. You know, it really is. I mean, you know, here, you know, I laid the foundation of the church here. I carried the apostolic mantle for it. But, you know, I had to, in a sense, come together with the three of us to form a three. And now we begin to administer that blueprint in a new heavenly way. But it doesn't make it easy because people are still entrenched in mindsets and attitudes and behaviors. So for us to get a seven functioning has been really difficult because people just kept wanting to do it the old way. And it's like you don't want to come down and just sort of, you know, although sometimes my frustrations get the better of me and I'm like, can't you see this? Come on. You know, but it's like you have to work the culture of honor. So you have to honor people in their positions and honor them in what they're doing and encourage them to do it, but it's not easy. In your situation where I guess you're not in necessarily that earthly government, you probably need to get a mandate from God for each thing you do. Make sure you're mandated. If you have a governmental role to play, which is heavenly, and because there are no one necessarily operating in heavenly government, then you probably have a special position in this, which God recognizes. What you must do is honor those that are in authority, but you begin to call forth, administer the heavenly blueprint so that those that will hear and resonate with the sound that you're heralding out of heaven, coming out of your innermost being, will begin to vibrate with that frequency. Now, you know, you have a choice of what happens if people don't choose to go that way. You know, it's like we cannot control or manipulate people. We can only look to create an atmosphere where the sound of heaven is, and that may be just our life, you know, that we are creating an atmosphere around us of that, and people just enter into that atmosphere and they, oh, something's different here when they engage with you and when they connect up with the spheres of government that you have personally. You know, it's not an enviable position to be in. So blessings with that one, but I would certainly do nothing without a clear mandate that you know that you're mandated to do something. You certainly don't want to usurp any authority in any wrong way. Right. Honor and respect those who are in positions of government, but in reality they're in positions of government which are under the level that you're operating in out of heaven. And so you do have the opportunity to bring kingdom influence into that scenario and situation, but you just need a very clear strategy from God to do it. You know, send the angels out. Get the angels to begin to, as ministering spirits, engage with those that need to hear that heavenly call. And again, send out the angels to go to interrupt people's dreams, to come into their dreams and begin to reveal the things that God is stirring and wanting to call them into. Just things that you can do. You know, you have every right to release that in those sort of governmental spheres. What you can't do is, you know, try and challenge the authority in a wrong way or try and manipulate anything politically. You know, you just don't want to operate in any sort of political spirit. So don't get into arguments. Just know what you believe, stand firm, but don't try and use political maneuverings to do it. It's just, well, it will never work. You know, you just have to operate in the opposite spirit and bring blessing and release blessing and call forth blessing. That sort of stuff, really, you know.
No, that's excellent. you know, and you're just confirming what I'm doing. I just keep seeing this expansion, you know, in the spirit. So that's what I'm releasing the angels to do, and just waiting on the timing of God. You know, and right now we're doing, like, you know, they call home group, but it's almost like we're hidden prayer warriors. You know what I mean? So I know things are changing, but it's so, you know, little compared to what I see God wants to do. But, you know, I don't understand what's being released fully too. So I think if we're obedient, that's what it's all about. And I'm trying to go in that slow mode.
Yeah, not easy, but
no, it's producing patience and lots of other things, I think.
Yeah. And, you know, ultimately, you know, in the future, you know, God has a plan and purpose and a destiny for you. And I think there are others called to bring kingdom government into spheres that aren't, won't be recognized or don't need to be recognized on earth. It's a heavenly function, and which will, you know, I think ultimately will start to release those that are caged in systems to come out of those systems. Now, what you want is the systems to fall away and for the whole groups of people to engage it. You know, which is, you know, I connect up with several churches that are looking to transition. So I'm working with the senior leaders of those churches, if you like, to try and do whatever I can to support and encourage and help them, which is, you know, which is great. When you're in a situation where the senior leaders aren't necessarily doing that, then your heart is to, and God's heart is to release people into what God is doing. And I believe that there will be groups of people that transition really quickly, that there will be the preparation done will create an atmosphere where change can happen in a day, and there can be breakthroughs in a day, and breakthrough angels will bring breakthroughs for whole groups in a day, because God's working through people like yourselves who are administering kingdom government, and they're starting to prepare for those things to take place, and they're beginning to frame those events. You know, so it's like seeing what God's desire is for whole churches, whole ministries, whole cities to begin to be changed and transformed. You know, we have to have people who are operating with that level of faith and that level of government who see what God is doing. I mean, I personally have connected up last night. I mean, over the past 6 months, I've been more and more connecting in the realms of heaven, in sort of the chancellor's sort of roles and things. And last night, you know, I led some people here on an exercise engaging with wisdom. So I sort of thought, I'm going to go and engage with wisdom myself. And ended up in a High Chancellor's house, one of the houses, which is called the Affairs of the Nations. And so I'm in this, you know, huge place, and I see this massive map, and people are looking at this map, and the map starts to shift, and regions start to shift on the map, and things start to move, and I can see sort of these latitudes that are connecting people and connecting cities and connecting government up across nations and across the world start to come together, and I can see these domes start to form of provision and protection and cities of refuge, you know, and it was like, oh, what am I doing here, you know? And it was like, then I saw 9 thrones empty, but everything waiting for those to come forth. And I'm like asking the High Chancellor of this room, this hall, you know, what are they? Who are they for? He says, those that are called to govern the tectonic plates. And it's like, okay. So whenever I see 9, you know, I know that symbolic nature of the 9 fire stones, you know, 9 stones covering Satan's body. This is the earthly form of government, you know, without the 3 making up the 12. So, you know, there's this sense that God is preparing things for great shifting, you know, a great change, a great transformation that's coming. He's wanting people to be raised up into governmental spheres. And then I'm like standing there, well, what am I supposed to do? You know, so, and then, you know, I'm reminded of
something. I love that.
You know, it's like, yeah, you know, so if I get that stuff, I'm like, okay, what am I doing here? Okay, it's all good. I can see this stuff. Great. But what am I supposed to do? And then I get reminded, okay, well, what were you called to do when you saw in the beginning of the year, you know, the earth, and you started to see the earth stop, and then you started to see the lights, and sort of you started to see benches of three raised up around the earth, and you started to see this earth spin in the other direction. You know, there's a whole shift coming in the spin of the earth. I'm like, okay, yeah. So it's like, okay, start calling those benches. You know, start connecting the benches, which is why, you know, some of the what you're doing, I know the things we were talking about last time, you know, in terms of some of the areas that you're operating in, and, you know, that whole area across there, you know, I'm connected with people at the other end of that, and some people in the middle of it, and it's like, okay, how do we then begin to get people connected to see, hey, there's government across this latitude, if you like, or across this parallel, or across this area, and I can see it, you know, and I can see what's happening in the northeast and northwest and that connection. There's some stuff happening down in the southeast and looking for connection with southwest right across the nation. And then I've got people in the middle saying, hey, don't leave us out. You know, it's like, you know, I'm in the middle. I'm in Nebraska. I'm like, I have no idea where Nebraska is. Somewhere obviously in the middle, you know. But, okay, where are the connections? You know, and those are the things that I'm looking to start to call forth myself. You know, that's what I'm looking to do. I'm calling forth the government, issuing a sound which will start to connect people up along those lines, you know, so that we can start to see the cities of refuge. I mean, I had a lady the other day, she said that she was driving from somewhere to go to Washington State and Yakima, I think, and it's like she drove through Portland, and it's basically, she said, she drove like into a dome, a bubble, and immediately she drove in, it's like her whole emotions started to totally connect with the atmosphere. And it wasn't a negative atmosphere, it was a good stuff. And all of a sudden it was like she was moved in her emotions, she was stirred, and actually as soon as she drove out the other side, it immediately switched off. And her thing was, well, I'm not that sort of emotionally person who picks, but I drove into the atmosphere and something was different in the atmosphere. You know, so I know that, you know, there are these connections being made and people are actually beginning to experience it. You know, I know some of the other guys over the other side of the country are doing stuff across this line. You know, there's some people on the other side of the line in Toronto who are hooked up with people over in sort of the Vancouver and the Seattle area, and that there's just these connections are being made, you know, and I think it's really exciting, you know.
Love it.
It's so cool because Lainey called me, I think it was a couple mornings ago, and you had spoken about that story that you just told about coming through Portland here. Yeah. And I was half asleep when she called me, and she was telling me, Jody, somebody's driven through Portland and they've felt that, you know, and I at first I thought she meant they traveled through here in the spirit, okay? And I'm seeing this, like she's telling me, and I'm seeing it as I'm laying there half asleep. I'm like seeing this golden dome over Portland. And I've seen it in the spirit. I saw like this connecting line of gold, like a gold, I don't know how to say it, like an arc going from Seattle to Portland. And I was just a cool experience because I could see it as she was telling me what you were sharing. I was seeing it, and it was like, oh my gosh, that's just so encouraging because, you know, mm-hmm. I live in Portland, and and I've always known Portland is a city of refuge. And, yep. I mean, there's been huge, like, prophetic words about Portland, like from even Yonggi Cho. Yonggi Cho has even prophesied about Portland. And so I don't know. It's just exciting because it's a wild city. I mean, there's people where have like bumper stickers that says "Keep Portland Weird," and it's just because there's such it's crazy because there's such creative people that live here, you know? It's like a hub of creation, a creative people, and so yeah, it's exciting. I'm excited.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, I am, because I, you know, in a sense, I connect up with different groups and different people from different places, and it's just great when you start to see those golden connections, and you know what one person and one group is doing in one area. You know, they're all getting different parts to play and different things that they're doing, but it's beginning to affect areas. You know, and you know, I know one of the groups that, you know, I'm just connected with one lady who's in this group. They have been calling for these domes, these cities of refuge and things to be established. And so they've been looking along this line and seeing where are the intersections of the longitude and the latitude? Where do the ley lines cross under an everlasting door in the realms of heaven? Where are these spiritual connections of places of power? You know, some people call them ancient wells, some people, you know, there are different names for those things, you know. But they are power connectors. They're places where things interconnect and then something's established. And so they're beginning to do that, you know. And you've got another group, you know, who's, you know, they are spread, you know, someone's over in, I think, in the sort of western end, and then you've got two over in the eastern end, and they're connecting. I mean, interesting on the time zones, we sort of find we have to connect up at a time where everyone can make it. But actually, you know, they're beginning to administrate government into certain spheres, and other people are starting to benefit from it, even not knowing this going on. You know, so it's like, I think it is an exciting thing. And I, you know, I'm sort of privileged to be involved and just see it and see things start to come out and governments start to form. And I think the great thing is, most people have got no idea. You know, it's not. We're building some empire on the earth. This is actually no. We are here because we're called, and we've been given governmental authority in this, and we're exercising that authority. It doesn't matter whether anyone sees it. People are going to experience it and be blessed by it. You know, and that's the, you know, I think the key in this. So that we're coming together in that group. And then I think we're going to find that those different benches of three and those different people that are connected will start to form councils across those regions. That they start to administrate the region as a council of 12. You know, and I think, okay, that would be great. If we can connect some of those up, that would be awesome, you know. So pretty good stuff, really.
Awesome. Have you, Mike, have you, this is kind of, I'm just curious because I know you're engaged in a lot of stuff. Have you sensed the honor and gratitude of heaven for you stepping into your place at times? It's like they celebrate you.
Yeah, there's that sense of, yeah, the sort of cloud of witnesses and different things that, yeah, you get a sense of celebration. You know, I tend to sort of, I'm not very demonstrative as a person, so I tend to sort of shy away from stuff.
Yeah, really. I know. But I'm just curious, you know, you wonder if you make this stuff up. That's why when you said, okay, what do I do now? Thank you for bringing reality for all of us.
Well, half the time I'm sort of like totally out of my depth. It's almost like, what is this? You know? But I know that, hey, if wisdom takes me to a place, I know I can turn and say, what is this? You know, you brought me here. What's my part to play in this small area? You know, and it's like, yeah, it's this. Oh, right, now it joins some of the dots up and I can see what's going on, you know. And, it makes me feel complete in that I was always so.
Uh-oh.
We lost him.
Hi, Pena.
She must be on mute.
Hi, Pena. We lost him for a second.
Oh, hi. I'm running around getting ready for my 8 o'clock class.
look at you.
Like, my hair is like not well, you know, like, oh, wow, I've got to get ready. I love you guys. I love these times together.
Awesome.
Hopefully Mike will come back and proceed.
I am so blown away about the domes because of the things he shares, and it's like it affirms the things that I'm experiencing, and I'm like, that's what that was, because I saw that map and I saw that big room and I thought, where am I? You know how he was talking about being in that room?
Yeah.
What was it, the room? He said it was with the chancellors, or who was he with?
Just when he's been stepping in his government or role and just experiencing things. Yeah, just the things he's seen and how the Lord, you know, wisdom, the Lord bringing him to these different places and how to call forth things and releasing angels.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I'm like, okay, got to start using my authority.
Yeah, that's what we all have to. I mean,
he's
teaching us how. Hi. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So, yeah, in a sense, it's like, it does, I suppose, it just makes you feel, hey, I was born for this. You know, I was born for a time such as this, and that is what gives me the sense of, hey, this is just awesome. It's not, you know, yeah, there's a great sense of celebration, I think, sometimes in the realms of heaven when we get it. It's almost like, what I feel is almost like, oh, at last someone's getting some of it, you know, and I think, well, I'm at least getting a bit of it, and that's causing rejoicing. Hey, what about when we see a generation raised up? What rejoicing is there going to be then?
Amen.
Right.
Yeah, it just, it's cool because it really resonates with who you are when you're connecting with, I guess, the people we were created with. And I think that's, it's amazing experience.
Yeah, definitely so.
Yeah.
I remember when I first heard the Cloud of Witnesses, it was before any of this stuff, learned any of this stuff, and I was just kind of having a little bit of a pity party one day, just going, I just don't feel like I fit in anywhere, and I just feel like an alien, and I was just like kind of like speaking out loud, like, just, I'm just so frustrated, and why, you know, blah, 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 and all of a sudden I heard the Cloud of Witnesses go, we get you, Jody. I'm like, I just feel like nobody gets me, and it's like, I heard them go, we get you, Jody, we get you, and they were going, you go, and they were like cheering me on, and I'm just like, what did I just hear? And it was, I'm like, did I just hear the Cloud of Witnesses? Because it was like a collective, you know, all cheering me on. And so it was really like wild. It was one of the things that helped me later on go, I know I've heard the Cloud of Witnesses, you know, and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Lainey made it on there.
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'll go back and listen for sure.
Yeah, you got to, girl. You got to.
All right. Have you got anything else you want to talk about, share, ask? I'm really up for anything. So. Feel free.
Hi, Mike.
Hiya.
When you were talking about, excuse my appearance, I'm getting ready, but, you know, when you were talking about that room where you were in and that there was this big map that unfolded and there was all these people in there, what room was that? Because I've been there, but I didn't know what it was.
There are 12 Chancellor's Houses that I've engaged with. I've met the chancellors and their who they are and whatever. One of them is called the Affairs of the Nations.
Okay.
And so it's I know I've met a couple of other people online who have been there as well, and there are others that it's a place of activity, because people who carry the hearts for the world and for nations and people groups and different things sort of hang out there, if you like. It was pretty awesome. I have an invitation to go to all those Chancellor's Houses. You know, I've been to four of them so far. You know, I'm taking my time. or just letting wisdom take me there. Because it's like, because the trouble is, once you go, and once you then have revelation, you're then responsible for it. And so, yes. So it's like, I got enough on my plate, and I'm like, okay, can I spin another 12 plates at this point in time? So I sort of, I'm open, and I, when I engage wisdom, you know, it's like, okay, when you want to take me there, then I'll go. You know, it's been the last few weeks has been more activity around it, but you know, they're key places, really.
Because I was in that room and I didn't know where I was. It was these big double, like very ancient wooden doors with carvings, and they were very dark wood, and they were ajar. And I peeked in and I saw this humongous table that almost completely filled the room, and there was a map on it, but the map was alive. It really wasn't like a regular map. It was like I could see the earth. And I could hear the ocean, and I could hear the sea and the birds flying, and I thought, what is this place? And I looked closer, and there was men standing around. There were people standing around, and they were talking about strategy. And I had no idea, like, what? You know, and because it's new to me, I had no idea, like, what? So I just stayed there and listened. And they knew I was there, but they just continued their affairs and continued talking about their strategies and their plans, which I got some insight into it. And as you were talking about the affairs of the nations, it resonated with me. I thought, oh my God, somehow I'm connected with this, or I wouldn't have been there. So I'm asking the Lord for wisdom, because when I was in college, I had a real strong pull to study international law and to study international affairs. And that was my major in college. And I ended up going to law school. And then I started like going in the wrong direction, going more toward domestic and, you know, like family things, and then I dropped out of law school. I thought, no, I'm not doing this. It's too, I don't want to be involved with all the strife between couples, and this is just not my call. And so I'm becoming aware that, you know, I had a real strong desire to work for the, in New York, they have that where all the nations gather, the United Nations, and yeah, I wanted to be a translator for them, and I wanted to be involved with where all that is happening. And then I got married, and it kind of threw me to another rabbit trail, you know. So now my boys are grown up. My youngest is 26. My youngest are five boys. And I think now I have no excuse. So, Lord, get me ready. And I'm becoming more and more aware. It's like an acceleration. And it's like there's so many things, like you said, I have so many plates that I'm spinning, but the Lord's having me hold them, not to drop them. And it's just organizing my time and my priorities and committing to it and following it through and just not dropping the plates. So thank you, Mike. You're a blessing. Thank you for this time. I am so blessed because I know that it's not all in my imagination, and I know that what the Lord is showing me is more real than what I'm looking at around. So thank you. I love you all. I got to run, and I love you, and I'll watch you again. You all be blessed. Bye.
Okay. You're right. Okay. Well, I haven't actually shared the 12 Chancellor's Houses and what they are, and I think I will, because I think it needs to be said, so I'm going to put it out there. There are 12 High Chancellors, and they carry a high level of governmental authority, and the 12 High Chancellor's Houses are the Treasury Room. Now, we know that one, and we know of Melchizedek, the High Chancellor of that room, but there's the Mantle Room, there's the Scroll Room, there's the Affairs of Nations Room, there's the Weapons Room, there's the Culture Room, there's a Discovery Room, There's a commissioning room, a law room, a precepts room, an ordinance room, and a statutes room, or house. I mean, they're huge. I mean, the doors on these things are large. I mean, it's not like a little house. I mean, this is like a huge sort of place, and they're all pretty significant in that they carry something of the 12 laws that come out of Zion, and they carry something towards the court of the councils of the fathers, in that there are two banks of 12, you know, the 24 elders. So there's an administration of that there. Now, I've been introduced to each of the high chancellors and who they are, but, you know, I've only gone into a few of the rooms so far. And what I've gone into them is like they are a different dimension of anything that I've experienced before. You know, so this whole affairs of the nations thing, it was just like, wow, I'm blown away by what I'm seeing. When I went into the mantle room, you know, I've seen mantles before, but this was like, there were huge angelic beings in there that, you know, had, you know, sort of bundles of these mantles and things, you know. I mean, it's just a different level, and I don't understand it yet, and I don't understand all the governmental aspects to it yet, but I know I'm called to engage, so I've got to be pursuing it. And, you know, as I find out more, and then, you know, it's great when people say, oh yeah, I've been there. Now, sometimes we'll use different names, or we won't have a name that we know, we've just been somewhere. And I sort of recognize it, and it's like, oh, right, yeah. That we're talking about the same thing. You know, someone said to the other day about, you know, well, I've been to this, what I'm calling the Court of Intercessors. And have you heard of a Court of Intercessors? And I said, well, no, I've not heard of a Court of Intercessors, but what went on there? So she described it. I said, oh, that's that. Now, this is what I would call this court, you know. And we get to sort of, you know, engage and find these things out, and then look to outwork them. You know, I personally believe that many of the roles that the angels are functioning in is because we've not yet come into our authority in the kingship and sonship area. So Zechariah 3, you know, we will have charge of the house. Well, some of these houses, they need to be taken charge of by those who are the heirs. There's a sense where we have charge of the courts. Most of the courts I go into, I'm subject to them. You know, I don't have charge over them. Well, actually, according to Zechariah 3, we're supposed to have charge over the courts. But there's obviously a process of preparation that brings us into that, being faithful in the kingdom of God, in lordship, you know, engaging the kingdom of heaven in kingship, you know, engaging as a son to stand in the courts and councils and the assemblies of God. You know, we're supposed to have charge of those courts. Not just one day we will judge angels, we're supposed to bring government to it now. You know, the Galactic Council is not supposed to be made up of the majority that are making it up. There's supposed to be 70 current people who are engaging from their generation, serving the purpose of God in their generation. They aren't. But God is raising people up to higher and higher levels of government, and we have to be willing to be prepared, you know. And it's not about, oh well, these are sort of people that you would know of necessarily. These are people that God has called, you know, and carry government in heaven rather than necessarily government on earth, you know. And I think everyone's got to be open for their role in the courts of heaven. You know, there are chancellors who are earthly. I know Ian calls himself chancellor, you know, because he's been given that authority. You know, there are others who have chancellor's roles. Well, that means we get to function in the chancellor's court, not just get to go and present a scroll or a mandate to the chancellor's court and get authorization. Actually, people present scrolls to us because we've learned the protocol of the government, that we carry the heart of God in government, then we can release scrolls and mandates to be authorized. You know, going into the court of kings, you know, that was the place, I guess, that first brought me into sort of legislative things. Actually, no, I produced a law that came out of my desire of my heart to bring legislative government and authority, which was different. I didn't present it. It came out of my heart onto the scroll, and then, yes, I took it through a judicial process for it to be authorized and put into statute. But, you know, I'm really interested in the law room and the precepts room and the ordinance room and the statutes room, because that's all about governmental terms that are attached to the firestones, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, there's some stuff here of the law that come out of Zion. Because, you know, Ian has taught on the 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem. You know, that's the law of the spirit of life, law of sin and death, law of love, law of faith, law of sowing and reaping, law of first mention, law of firstborn, law of abundance, law of justice. Well, that's the walking in his ways stuff. And if we don't walk in his ways, then we're not going to begin to administer his precepts in the realm of the kingdom of God. But what are the 12 laws that come out of Zion? I know Ian's taught about it quite a lot, but he's not actually defined them. So who's going to define them? You know, well, someone needs to, because if we don't know what they are, how can we function according to them? And these are heavenly laws that function about the laws of heaven. What are the laws of heaven that are representing the law of sowing and reaping, or the law of faith, or the law of love? What are the laws of heaven? You know, and I long for looking into that stuff to release it so that we can function in it. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of government of issues which God is preparing people for right now. So let's be faithful in the little, and there's going to be more. You know, like, you know, Jody's dream, hey, it wasn't just one lion that came out of heaven. There's loads of flying lions that are coming out because there's an increase in governmental authority that's being released. You know, let's embrace it and go for it. You know?
Excellent.
There we go.
That's good. Yeah, the thing when we had met for, you know, our group thing, and we're really seeing, you know, in our lives, but we know we're feeling it corporately, is that whole identity thing, understanding our identity and how important we are in our place.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's huge.
Well, that really is the whole nature of our tutoring by the seven spirits of God.
Right.
Bring us into our governmental position, you know, and you know, you have the whole, you know, different things of the spirit of the Lord and spirit of wisdom, and there, it's all about government. Everything's about who we are is as sons of God in our governmental responsibility and authority, and the position that we carry in that. And if we don't exercise that authority, then we're not bringing government, and we're not actually outworking the destiny that we've been given, because, you know, God called Adam and Eve to have dominion. Dominion is the very essence of the kingdom, and we're supposed to be administering the kingdom. You know, the kingdom has been given, you know, if you read in Daniel chapter 7, the kingdom was given to Jesus when he ascended to the Ancient of Days and received the kingdom, and then it says the kingdom was given to the people. So he received the kingdom from the Ancient of Days. Now the kingdom has been released to us. And so it's all about kingdom government and authority. That is our positional identity. We are called to rule and to bring government, and to establish heaven on earth, and to administer heaven into the earth. You know, it's all about what it's about. And, you know, we need to know it. You know, that's why the seven spirits of God are extremely active right now. You know, we are engaging them very strongly in our corporate gatherings, you know, where they're connected with the colors and the flags and the different things. And, you know, there's just overlap. You know, we had an amazing overlap of heaven on earth on Sunday, just like I was in, just living in the dimension where it was overlap of the temple, you know, where the altar is, where we are unraveled. You know, Isaiah 6. Woe is me, I am a man undone, or I am a man unraveled. When you get there, it's like everything starts to unravel. You know, it's like our very DNA starts to untwist. You know, everything starts to straighten out. And it's like no condemnation, but there's the seraphim and there's the altar, and we get a choice. You know, I've been challenged to come there every day recently to present my heart, to place on the altar. And you know what those seraphims do? They flap their wings to heat up the altar. And it just unravels me. It's just like I've become just, whoa, I'm unraveled in front of you, you know. But at the end of it, after the altar experience, God says, okay, who's going to go for us? And Isaiah says, yeah, here I am, send me. You know, there's that sense of, you know, coming before the altar. It's just this, I'm then able to outwork the will and purpose of God. There's no condemnation, there's no guilt. There's just, hey, this is a whole different level of engagement, which is, you know, I know God is preparing people for that. He's calling people to it, you know. And Sunday morning, it was just like I was there and we were there. It just opened up around us. You know, and so people were engaging this altar, and you know, it was like it was really powerful. You know, so I'd encourage people to go there. If you got access to it, go before the temple, in the temple. You know, the most thing, the side issue of that, which people don't really say much about, is the train of his robe filling the temple. And if you think about that, you know, how can the train of his robe fill a whole temple? That train of his robe is made up of lights. It's like they're made up of diamonds, and they basically fire lights every second. Lights are just going off multiple times. And one day I asked him. I was in a chariot with him, and behind him was this amazing light show going on. Just like diamonds shining and stuff. I'm looking at it, and I think, wow. And I said, well, what is it? He says, every one of those lights is when someone's destiny comes out of Satan's trophy room. And it gets added to the train of my robe in light. And it goes off. I mean, there's lots of people coming out of Satan's trophy room every second. You know, and it's just an amazing sight. You know, and that's just that fills the temple, you know. And so the whole thing is about bringing that in fullness of government, you know. And so we empty Satan's trophy room of all the trophies he has of people's destinies, and we see them added to the train of his robe in that shining light that's going off, reflecting his glory more and more and more, you know, which is awesome. Which is actually what is before the throne. You know, when it talks about the sea of glass is those diamonds of his robe which are flashing in worship before the throne. I mean, it's an awesome thing. So, there we go. Mm,
that's amazing. Something that I've been doing that I heard Justin Abraham say this recently that really helped me he said, if we're not seeing heaven, we need to hold heaven in our hearts. Yeah. And so that really helped me, because I understand the holding in the heart thing, and it's like, so I've been doing a lot of that, just holding. Like I went to my mother's town yesterday, which is not far from here. It's part of Portland, but anyways, I just began to hold that town in my heart and look at myself as being you know, presiding over it as sitting in the Lord, sitting in the lion, and I just began to hold that city in my heart, and the Lord just began to just, oh, I mean, I could just cry right now because it's so intense, you know, and I just started to just pray for families, because that particular town has such an issue with families, you know. It's just like, and I just began to release God's love and restoration over families, over that city. But anyways, I just wanted to share that because I know sometimes people have a hard time seeing stuff, and it was something that Justin said was, you know, you can see what you hold in your heart. The Lord will let you peer in and look into things that you're holding in your heart. And I realized he gave me a revelation about that, that's why I have such a, I don't know, with the New Age, it's the Lord put the New Age in my heart. And it's like I can feel things for them and know things for them. And it's just, it's a key that it's helped me recently. And I just wanted to share that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, in reality, you can't have any government towards anything that you don't hold in your heart. You know, yeah. We have to cultivate those things in our heart, the desires of God for those things in our heart, and then we have government towards them. You know, and we can carry them into the realms of heaven, and when we step in, we bring them with us before the presence of God in our heart. And it's a key, you know. And once we start looking into what was God's purpose and intention for that, then we can ministrate that into what is to transform what will be. And that is what the privilege that we get when we are able to carry things in our heart and we step into Him. So then we have access to what was. And then that means that we can administrate through the four faces of God into what is, so that the full order of that will be released in what will be. But it all comes down to, what is it that we carry in our hearts? What a desire have we cultivated there? You know, have we got God's heart from eternity stirring the desires of our heart towards those people groups or places or towns or regions, whatever it might be, or people? But when we carry it in our heart, then we can release the government of God into that and bring God's government through it. So it is a key. So, yeah, it's an awesome thing. So, there we go.
Yeah, and I realize that you carry us in your heart. You know what I mean? You're carrying a generation in your heart. And, I mean, I could just cry again because it's so incredible. Mm. You know, we need people that are, I mean, it's amazing the new kind of government God is raising up. He's not just raising up people that are just so disengaged. You know, He's raising up people that are, you know, I'm just getting rocked right now. But I'm just feeling the heart of God lately, you know, on just stuff. And it's immense. It's immense. So thank you for carrying us in your heart.
Okay. Yeah, I do. Okay. Well, I better leave.